All right, going on to item five, discussion and possible action of the process of future amendments of the 2023 regional flood plan. So I put this on the agenda because I said I would. We've had a lot of inquiries sort of immediately as soon as the first funding cycle went out, and people figured out if we weren't in the plan, we can't apply for that funding cycle. There's sort of multiple things going on. Long story short is we're not still quite sure what the process is going to be doing for an amendment. Regardless of what it is, it's a two-step process. It will be for the regions to do an amendment, and then those amendments are sent forward to the state, and then the state has to amend the state plan and bring them in. Even if we could, us rushing to do something doesn't achieve much if those amendments don't get brought into the state plan. We've had multiple sort of email and phone conversations with the state to start talking through that. We have had several requests regarding projects at the Lower Brazos. One of the first ones to reach out wasn't somebody who necessarily felt like they were missed out in the first cycle. It just took them that long to get through their individual project development process. So now they're ready. They have their consultant. They've done some study. Now they're ready to get folded in. We've also had people reach out who failed to engage during the first cycle. So they have projects that were caught by half and we brought them forward, but they never would sort of respond. And so their projects ultimately weren't recommended because they didn't have a sponsor. We have other folks that just didn't get involved at all, and we didn't have any other way to sort of find projects. And so they now want to add projects in. In general, the process, as my understanding, is when you go forward from cycle to cycle, again, everybody's trying to mimic off of the state water plan that's been happening for a really long time, and that there wouldn't be a lot of amendments. And basically, you would deal with that as you go through that next planning cycle and in that update, right? Well, that puts it 4+ years out. So we've been having conversations with the state, and we're trying to figure out how to deal with the uniqueness of, we just went through the very first flood cycle. That concept was new to everybody. We also did it in a very abbreviated cycle that started in COVID. So we kind of had a lot of strikes against us on as far as hitting the optimum outreach and involvement. You know, the state is working on two things. One, there's some direction on how to respond to ideas about new information as dictated in the administrative code. They're also working on how to deal with sort of this amendment process. I do not have any additional direction at this time. So today is really just going to be more of a discussion, and for the other voting members who haven't maybe been as involved in some of these conversations, if y'all want to ask some questions, and either me or if Jake's on there, we can try to answer what we know for now. We'll continue to have this item on till we get enough action to figure it out. I do know that there are several people that had contacted me and Anthony, and so we told them that we would be getting on this process. So we still wanted to have it out there so that that we all have an opportunity to discuss. And with that, I'm going to just open it up to the other voting members that if they have a question or if there's something that they want to bring forward that they've been contacted about, feel free.
Chair, ahead, this is Anthony Beach.
Go ahead.
I just hope, this is a comment I have. I just hope that we can create some type of process that is simple for the stakeholders. Maybe a one page or a two page thing that they don't necessarily have to go out and hire a consultant to help them get into the plan. So if we could maybe encourage Texas Water Development Board to keep the process as simple as possible.
Understood. I did have in some of my conversations yesterday with some of the senior staffers, you know, one item in particular that we're looking at, and, you know, as y'all recall, they extended our submission time and gave us some additional funds to get more projects in the plan. And what our group opted to do is to spend the majority of that money developing projects in the more rural, less modeled areas that had less information and sort of less support. Well, it turns out we weren't the only region that did that. Quite a few of the regions focused specifically on that. And so one of the things the Water Development Board's looking forward to in this next phase is giving us some additional sort of time and effort to develop things in those areas. but then also allowing us going forward to recommend some projects specifically that the Water Development Board then can select from and them actually do the projects for them. So less likely to be like a physical, we're going to fix your channel, but some of these other studies and analysis and modeling that needs to be done. And some of these communities don't even have somebody to run the contract, let alone sort of take that on. The Water Development Board's seen that, learned from that lesson, and they are going to try themselves going forward in the future to select from projects that the groups send forward in these smaller areas and just hire the consultants themselves. So that's really promising on that lower end. As far as how simple the application will be, Anthony, I think part of it's going to be they set the burden of how much information you need, like regarding a project. So we're trying to find that balance. And that's been part of my concern. If it's as complex as, for example, the project requirements were in the first cycle, where we had to look at models and mapping and all of that, it's not really something that you know, the planning group members are going to take on. And as you know, the email we sent out, if we don't have funds that we can't authorize the consultant to do it, that's what gets us stuck. And so I would love to have a short little list also, but unfortunately that information is still to be determined. Any other comments or questions from our voting members, please?
Chair, this is Charlotte Gilpin. It's not so much a question of just a request that as we're moving forward and in our meetings here, if we can continue to get updates from our Water Development Board representatives, just sharing how the other regions are handling this and what their processes are looking like. Because I would imagine just what Anthony, you know, eloquently laid out there, everyone should have the same objective. And so I'm very eager and curious just to hear how others are moving forward with this as well and what we can have to start from and optimize.
Thank you for that, Charlotte. Yeah, in my conversations yesterday with Mike Kelly, apparently we're leading the way on this one, which is not always where I want to be in pioneering a new process, but the board has engaged with us and they're asking for specifics about how we're being approached and what we're hearing, and that's helping them go about the best way to develop. But I think that's a great point. You know, I did look at a couple of the other regions to see what they have on their agendas thus far. Some of them are just, you know, kind of posting for the consultants. I didn't see anything about my amendments, but I think great point, and we can rely on Jake maybe to talk to his peers and keep us engaged in that. Any other comments from voting members on this topic?
Chair, this is Sujeet.
Go ahead, Sujeet.
You know, we heard about you and Anthony got some list or something. Is there a list or something that they can send it to the project sponsors so we can be ahead of the curve to see what it is? Granted, the contractual with the half is going to take some time and we still don't have guidance. Because if I recall, we did extend, I think they did whatever got to be done till that particular time. And then assume right now that they realize that, man, we have to be in part of the plan. So if you can start compiling a list of what other entities are the request being made. So I think once half is on a contract and maybe we can get some additional guidance, we can be ready to make a decision of how we're going to proceed.
Right. We've had, I guess, about a half dozen folks and we're tracking them and then subscribing them to our sort of email blast about the agendas is what we're managing right now. And to your point, I think at some point we will figure out whether we do something separate to manage, you know, the inquiries that we're getting. Right now it's something that Pam's just sort of tracking the various folks that have reached out, communities and or consultants on behalf of communities. And so if you guys get approached separately about something in particular, please make sure you loop Pam in so she can add it and make sure they get added to our listserv until we determine some other process. That's kind of the way we're managing right now. I would say after the April 15th deadline, or I think that's when the deadline was, April something early, the requests have slowed down dramatically. I think it was like the rush of the people who just figured out I can't get in this funding cycle. Thank goodness, because if we were keeping at the original clip, it was a little disturbing. But that being said, if you hear any others, and to your point, Sujeet, we definitely want to sort of keep track of the ones who've already inquired so we can make sure when we figure this out, that they get proper notice and can get looped in. Any other voting member comments, questions? As I said, we're far from being ready to take action on this, and likely it will be at least another month till we get some clear direction out of the state as they go through. They're still trying to finalize the first round of the plan all the way through their state process.